my first time here speaking to you the word of the Lord. What a blessing worshiping the Lord with you and sharing his word. May I first ask you a question? I love asking questions. Why do you come to church this morning? Or any Sunday morning? Why do you come to church this morning or any Sunday morning? I think I hear some of you say, I don't know. My mom wants me to come. I just come. I have been doing this all my life. I come because I have to teach Sunday school. I have to read scripture. I have to be the pianist. I have to be the usher. I come to see friends. I come to worship God. Did I hear it correctly? Someone say, I come to worship God. You come to worship God? That's great. Me too. Let me ask, how do you know that you are worshiping God? I think we're doing that already this morning a lot. And you probably say, yeah, I pray. I sing praises. I give offerings. And I read and listen to God's word. Good answers. Have you forgotten anything else? Okay, two more questions. Do you know if God is pleased with your worship? What would he say about your offerings today? Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We worship you and we love you. Thank you, God, for love, for your love and mercy. You sent Jesus to be the ultimate sacrifice for us so that our sins are forgiven. You raised Jesus from the dead, and he is now sitting on the throne, appearing before you on our behalf. Open our eyes to see Jesus today. Open our ears to hear his word. Holy Spirit, open our lips to continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to you. Give us the passion to pray. With a repentant heart, pray for forgiveness. With a trusting heart, pray for help. With compassion, pray for those who are sick. Pray for those who need deliverance. Pray for those who need salvation. Help us to serve you and others with love. Teach us the way you like us to give, and give us the offerings you desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Toward the last few days of Jesus' life on earth before his crucifixion, Jesus was in the temple a lot. And it was the time of the Feast of Passover. Lots of people came to the temple to offer their sacrifices. Jesus was teaching in the temple. Repeatedly, he was interrupted by the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. They came to challenge him with questions after questions. One of the scribes asked, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is," quoting Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the scribe said to Jesus, "You're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there's no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Did you hear what he said? He said, To love God with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one neighbor as oneself, is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Jesus couldn't agree more with him and said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask Jesus any more questions. But Jesus continues teaching in the temple. He said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearances, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money in the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Hearing the sound of the coins that fall into the offering box, I named today's sermon, "Sound Offerings." The subtitle would be, "Sacrifice That Pleases the Lord." Like me, you probably have heard of this story of the poor widow many, many times before. But we are hearing it again today. Pray that we'll hear it with a fresh understanding. This is a very precious story. If we pay attention to how Mark tells the story, we notice that Jesus is the focal point. Jesus is the focal point of the story, not the scribes, nor the rich, or the poor widow, or the disciples, but Jesus. Jesus knew that his life on earth is coming to an end soon. And he wanted his disciples to know that it matters to God how we worship and what we bring to offer him in worship. Jewish people have a long history and an elaborate system in their temple worship to God. Temple is a tradition deeply ingrained in the life of every Jewish family. Why worship has to be in the temple? It is God's plan, and it is according to God's design. Dr. Don Carson, the editor of the NIV Zondervan Study Bible, summarizes for us this way. Temple is the meeting place between God and his people, a place of sacrifice with the prescribed blood to cover sin. There's a lot to learn about biblical temple worship, but today I'm just going to touch on a little bit according to the text in Mark chapter 12, 38 to 44. What might the temple look like in Jesus' time? I pulled out some pictures from the internet to show, to have a little bit of an idea. So this is the temple that the historian reconstructed. It's very glorious, very beautiful, very majestic. And this is a King Herod's temple. King Herod the Great started to rebuilding the second temple in 19th century BC. In the 18th year of his reign, He was ambitious to restore the temple to its glory of the Solomon's temple and to double its size. He also enlarged the complex of the temple to about 35 acres. I hope you can imagine the grandeur of the temple mount. King Herod wanted to be remembered forever as the builder of the greatest temple of the Jews. At the time of Jesus, the temple has been under construction for more than 46 years, said so in John 2:20, verse 20. And it was not entirely finished until 63 AD, and only 7 years before the temple was entirely destroyed in 7 AD by the Romans. Can you imagine? Took almost 66 years to rebuild. And then in 7 years, it was totally ground level by the Romans. Where's the treasury? This is the courtyard. Okay, next picture. The treasury. See, this is the Herod Temple. And the treasury, do you hear on the side, there's some, this courtyard is called the Court of Women. And on the side of it is called the treasury. And that's where the treasury is. The Court of Women is common area for worship. People gather there for worship. But why is it called the Court of Women? It's not just exclusively used for women, but it's as far as women can go in the temple courts. Most of the activities recorded in the New Testament took place in the Court of Women. If you read all the gospel, most of the New Testament talking about Jesus in the temple, talking about Jesus giving teaching there, it's taken place in the Court of Women. Now, in between the simple colonnades, on the side, you see lots of columns. They are called the simple colonnades. And the wall, there are 13 trumpet-shaped offering boxes called the trumpets, almost like this, but it's much larger. Can you imagine? Oh, there's some pictures. Next picture. So that's the courtyard still. Next one. These are the simple colonnades. And then behind, I don't know if you can see clearly, there's two boxes, and it's the trumpet-shaped offering boxes. You can see two here, but they're all around. There are 13 trumpet-shaped offering boxes. They call the trumpets, because they look like a trumpet, placed there for the worshiper to put in their monetary offerings. And then for the blood sacrifice, it will go up another level for the priest to do all that lamb sacrifice or other blood sacrifices. So these trumpet-shaped offering boxes are for charitable contributions. Like our offering envelopes today, you'll see that you list down what is it for, what is that for, is that for general offering, or is that for special offerings? These boxes, each of them is labeled for a different type of offerings. Two of these boxes are for temple tax. Everyone has to pay. And 9 for the leftover of the stipulated price of their offerings. And the 13 box is for voluntary contribution. If all these you don't understand, it's okay. We'll talk about it when there's the chance. Or you could look up in the online. There's lots of information about that too. How does Jesus know how much everyone puts in? He could tell how much people put in by the sound of the coin. Went into the box. So when people put in their money into these offering boxes, the sound these coins made against the metal would have indicated how much people offer to the temple. Jesus pointed to the scribes and said, Beware of the scribes. Who are the scribes? The scribes are the trusted interpreters of scriptures, the experts in the law, and the ones who uphold the Torah. Why was Jesus so disturbed by them? They are followers of Jesus too. They follow Jesus everywhere. Mark 3:22 tells us that the scribes came from Jerusalem to Galilee. They followed Jesus for the reason to find faults in him, to accuse him, interrupt his teaching, and try to trap him by asking lots of tough questions. Jesus got through every time and gave them the answers they deserved. They got furious with Jesus because Jesus knew their heart and their minds. They want to kill Jesus. As a matter of fact, just moments before Jesus sat down, he dealt with the scribes, the chief priests, and the elders who challenged his authority. You could find that in Mark 11, all the way to just before this passage of 38 and 44. Sounds like that Jesus really has enough with these scribes, and he's seriously warning his people to watch out for them. It's not hard to spot the scribes in the crowd. They walk around in long robes, expect respectful greeting in the marketplaces, and they take the chief seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets. One worse thing is that they devour widows' houses. The Baker exegetical commentary explains, the scribes consumed the limited resources of those who had the least. They abused their hospitality, defaulted them of their estates, mismanaged their property, and took their houses as pledges for debts that they could never repay. As if this is not bad enough, in front of people, they offered long public prayers to showcase their imagined holiness and devotion to God. Jesus says they will receive greater condemnations. After Jesus made the judgment about the scribes, Mark wrote, "And he sat down." Among the four Gospels, only Mark and Luke tell the story of the poor widow. And both Mark and Luke have Jesus' warning of the scribes before the poor widow's offering. However, only in Mark that we are told that Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. We might rightly think that after Jesus has a long day of teaching and answering questions, he is tired and needed a rest, so he sat down. Perhaps there's more to being tired that Mark is telling us why Jesus sat down. Jesus sat down, portraying himself as judge here. Not only that he will judge the world in his second coming, as is told in Matthew 25, 31 to 46, but he judges now as he watches worshipers give their offerings. He judges not only their appearances, but their actions, attitude, and the intention of their hearts. This was Jesus' last teaching in the temple and his last visit at the temple. Jesus is watching and he sees everything that's going on in the temple. He watches the rich people put lots of money in the offering boxes. And then he caught sight of a poor widow who put in 2 pennies. How does Jesus know she is a widow? Perhaps by the way she dressed? Perhaps Jesus knew the widow? Jesus always looked out for the widows. He cared for them. People are supposed to care for the widows, the fatherless, and the poor in the society as well. That's the law. They knew it. That's why Jesus is very angry with the scribes, because they take advantages. They take advantage of the widows. They rip them off of the little they have. Well-known Bible commentator John MacArthur is very convinced that the poor widow in this passage is the victim of the corrupt religious system. In her most desperate state of life, she gives all she had, believing in the false promise that doing so would bring blessings. We don't know what happened to the poor widow after she gave all she had. But we know that Jesus saw what she did and commented on her action. He told his disciples that, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Whether it was out of true devotion to God, or it was blind faith, perhaps, or fear of men, or maybe she is ready to end her life, her own life, by doing so, that caused the poor widow to give all she had. I think the point Jesus is making here is that the poor widow is a sign of a sacrifice. Jesus wants his disciples to know that soon he is also going to be a sacrifice. Sacrifice of himself to remove the sins of all humankind. Hebrews 9:26. The sacrifice is not like other sacrifice that has to be offered again and again, but his sacrifice is offered once for all. The perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 2:29. The sacrifice the poor widow made pleases Jesus. The sacrifice Jesus made pleases God. How about you and I? Are we coming to worship with the kind of sacrifice Jesus made? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is the spiritual worship God desires and requires. Romans 12:1. Let's get back to the questions I asked you in the beginning of the sermon. Why do you come to church? I hope your answer is, I come to worship God. Why the church? The church is like the temple. It is an ordained meeting place between God and his people, and a place of sacrifice. The church is the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I among them." Matthew 18:20. Meeting God and his people and offering sacrifice to God is the way to worship God. The kind of worship God pleases is the sacrifice Jesus made. A total sacrifice, offering to God. Well, you may ask, if Jesus already made the sacrifice once and for all, do we still need to make any more sacrifices? Yes and no. Yes, Jesus already offered up the perfect sacrifice. No more blood sacrifice for atonement of sins has to be made anymore. But no, Hebrews 13:15-16 teaches us. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. These are what I call sound offerings. Sound offerings do not limit to just monetary offerings, but all the things we do in worship. The prayers we pray, the praises we sing, the offerings we give, the scripture we read, and the sermon we listen must be offered in a way of a sacrifice. Giving totally for the sake to tell God and to show the world that we love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength. And then when we leave the church here, we are sent out to love our neighbors as ourselves. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is now sitting on the right hand of God at the throne of heaven, watching us worshiping God. Just imagine, would it be also possible that Jesus is sitting here today? Or maybe he's sitting on the foyer, one of the chairs in the foyer in BCBC, watching people put in their offerings. What would he say to his disciples? Next week, when you come to worship, prepare yourself to be the sacrifice that would make a sound offering to the Lord. Remember, Jesus is watching. Let's pray. God of heaven and earth, you are worthy of all praise and worship. We give thanks to you that we come to this church, the Brampton Chinese Baptist Church, to worship you and to serve you. Forgive us, Lord, that we are so unwilling to offer you the praise you deserve, to spend more time with you, to share with those in need the money and material goods you bless us so abundantly, and to use fully the gifts and talents you have graciously bestowed upon us. Forgive us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to rid of our hypocrisy, and help us to be real before those we serve. Empower us, Lord, to love you and others with your steadfast love. We ask all these in the name of Jesus. Amen.